Welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. As you might have noticed, my theme song wasn't there, so we're going straight into the show today. And are we on? Terry, can you hear me out there? Okay, I'm presuming we're on the air. I'm not sure at the moment. Okay, well, we'll go on as if we are. Today I have a couple folks here from the Eco Center. Emily Oyervides, did
Very
I get that
good.
Correct? And Tyler Butler.
Oh, you got it.
Both here from the Eco Center to let us know what's going on out there about some special events and try to encourage you to bring your families out. So let's start out. What is the Eco Center?
The Eco Center, we opened in September of 2014, so we're celebrating our fifth year this fall. And we are an outdoor education center. That's our primary function. We host field trips for local school districts, private events like birthday parties, family gatherings, company celebrations. We just hosted United Bank a couple days ago for their annual family year-end event for their employees. But we really like to get kids and families outdoors, exposed to nature, interacting with nature. We have a 10-acre property that encompasses native prairie and a 3-acre woods. And we've also encompassed some pretty cool upcycled play equipment where the kids can zip line and ride a barrel train. And we have an upcycled playground that's made of stuff that otherwise would have gone to the landfill. So we kind of put a fun educational spin on sustainability and outdoor education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've been out there about 5 years, did you say?
5 years.
Okay.
I grew up in the area. I was born and raised within Morrow and Marion counties. Graduated from River Valley in 2000 and spent some time in Mexico and then went to New York. And when my husband and I were starting our family, we came home when I was 8 months pregnant with our first child, Sophia, and we bought a property about a mile and a half from where I grew up. So my grandparents are nearby, my parents are nearby, and started the business about 4 years after that.
Okay. Might be important to tell people exactly where you're located, too.
Absolutely. We're we're in Caledonia. We are on a road, County Road 59, that runs parallel to 309. So our address is 1757 County Road 59 in Caledonia. And we're about 5 minutes outside of where the Caledonia Cemetery is, if you're headed towards Galleon.
Okay. So actually, you take that road that goes right next to the cemetery and go around the curve, and you're not too far down there from there.
Absolutely. Yep.
And what is your background in this area?
As in my education?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I graduated from Ohio State in 2004 with a degree in natural resource management, a focus on policy and planning. And then we did, I did a study abroad program in Mexico, and I got some exposure there with like community development and community interaction, doing some conservation work in Baja.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Tyler, you're a recent addition out there, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Similarly, have returned home. I was a naturalist on Cape Cod for the past couple months. Before that, resided in Lansing, Michigan, ran a conservation summer camp up there, which was pretty fun. But yeah, have recently returned. I've worked with Eco Center for a few years, sometimes remotely, sometimes on location, and it's always been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is exactly your position, your connection to the Eco Center?
Yeah, my position would be naturalist educator. So I come in and talk about, you know, natural resources or conservation, ecology, things like that.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about some of the things of nature that people would see when they come and go through the Eco Center?
Sure. Yeah, there's a wonderful...
Bugs, leaves, yeah. Trees.
Oh, there's plenty of everything.
A little bit more specific than that.
Yeah, yeah, there's a wonderful prairie which hosts just a plethora of not only, you know, prairie grassland plants, but also pollinators as well. That includes a bunch of Vespidae, which would be your bees and wasps and things like that, but also your Lepidoptera, which would be your moths, your butterflies, things like that, which is very, very exciting. There's too many to name right now. It would take up the entire radio show to name all the species that are out there. But there's also an incredible amount of woodland over on the property, which hosts a lot of your forest creatures, your squirrels, your songbirds, things like that, which is very, very exciting. And right now, it's a good time to be out there in the forest because we have a pretty big bird migration going on. All the birds are heading south. So it'd be a great time to come out with your binoculars and take a look around.
You're not too far from a creek there, are you? Or is there one that runs through there?
There is. There's one that's about a half a mile from where we are. And it actually borders where we grew up. So if we're talking about influence, you know, on my childhood and so forth, I grew up in that area. Kind of my stomping grounds were the creek and the woodland that was behind my grandparents and my parents' property, and very influential on me wanting to also share that with children and make sure that they have exposure to those resources and a place where they can kind of run and play and explore and investigate.
And not play get dirty games.
Absolutely. A lot of people talk about devices when they talk about, you know, our property and they visit as a family, and they'll even mention the teenagers, you know, wow, we've been out here and we thought the teenagers would be stuck in their phone the whole time, and they're out there playing with the kids, they're feeding the goats, they're doing the scavenger hunt on the trail, so forth. So a lot of good feedback that, you know, there's enough out there to get people busy, and it's enough exposure to the natural elements while still not overexposing them, I guess, to things that some people may feel uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm. If a person comes to the Eco Center, I presume there's admission charge?
Yes. Well, we basically, for the majority of the year, operate on what we call private events. So a field trip would be a private event. If you wanted to book a private party with us, we host our own summer camps. A few weeks out of the summer, and that's something that Tyler comes in on, and he does an educator position for our summer camps. So our big days of the year where we're open to the general public is our Earth Day, which is every year in April. It's a free community event. We get sponsorships. We team up with Angie Carbetta from Marion Recycling and Litter Prevention.
I figured she was part of this.
She's,
yes.
Yep. So and then her cohort in Morrow County. Which is Lindsay Grimm. So she's part of that program as well. And we kind of come together and put together this community event where we have local vendors and we do some upcycled art, get some donations for door prizes, rain barrel painting. Ben Kern over at the Guild has been very generous and helpful in gathering some artists and kind of taking that under his belt and making that program work for us. And then our next big hours are coming up this coming weekend. We are our only regular public hours that people can look forward to on an annual basis are for our fall festival. And that's kicking off this Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and 6th. And then the following weekend, the 12th and the 13th. And so that's where basically you do pay an admission fee to come in. And then everything's offered to you on an unlimited basis for the entire day. There's no wristbands, no additional tickets. You just come in, and it's kind of a free-for-all to enjoy the property as you see fit.
Okay. Do you have a little gift shop or anything like that there?
We do have a concession stand. Landis Produce from Marion County out on 309. They set up, and they sell some local goodies, some produce and some baked goods. And we have some t-shirts that are available, but pumpkin patch, you know, if that would be an additional option as a purchase if you wanted to pick a pumpkin out of our patch. And but not really like a whatnot store for
I wasn't sure if you had anything like that or not, but this time of year, of course, pumpkins are a big seller.
It's fun. It's the seeing the changes of the season. And And I think we're set to have some good fall weather. It's been so hot. that it doesn't feel like fall, but it officially is fall. And it looks like the temperatures this weekend are going to be in the upper 60s. So that's perfect for kind of getting people in the mood to come out and enjoy the weather.
cool enough for a hoodie or something like that. That's the kind of weather you want for an event like this, for sure.
Right.
You had mentioned summer camps. What goes on at your summer camp?
Yeah, it's a full day, summer camp program where the kids will come in. It's a day camp, so the kids will come in the morning around 9 o'clock or so. And when they get there, you know, we'll warm them up for the day. We'll sing some songs. We'll do some stretches. Make sure everybody's wide and awake to enjoy the activities for the day. And then after that, everything is planned out. We'll play some games. We'll do some educational activities. And then we'll do some free play as well, which, you know, is just a really well-rounded summer camp program. Of course, we make, you know, some time for lunch. Usually, you know, the kids aren't too worried about it. They're too busy having fun out on the property, you know, out on the upcycled, play equipment, or, you know, they'll go out into the prairie with me and we'll look for pollinators, or we'll do a bird watching program, or we'll come in and we'll talk about the importance of, you know, sustainability and recycling. And the kids really jump on board and they get very, very excited about it.
Yeah, that's exciting to see these kids excited about nature.
Oh, absolutely.
That's when they have all these, you know, the video stuff and YouTube and all this, and if they're willing to put that down and come be a part of that, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it really is, and it's something that keeps me going as a business owner. I mean, obviously, owning a small business is hard. Getting it started, getting it up on its feet, mm-hmm. keeping it available and clean and tidy and functioning. I live for the comments of, hey, my kid had a good time, or they couldn't stop talking about you, or photos of a child sleeping 5 minutes down the road because we just totally wore them out. That's enough energy and satisfaction that it kind of keeps you going to the next season and lets you know that it's worth it.
Yeah, it really is incredible just to watch kids play. You know, just play without a screen, without electronics, just to watch them out interacting with other children, playing.
Problem solving.
Like we did when I was a child.
Right.
Yeah. Investigating, asking questions. And we do thrive on that. As structured as we are, there's enough leeway within our programming that we're flexible enough that if a child is kind of going in a certain direction, we kind of go with them. There's some ebb and flow there with the programming that allows for them to be distracted in a positive and encouraging way that, you know, it's not too rigid.
Well, that's a good distraction. You know, they're looking at something else that's caught their eye, and it'll probably keep their attention better than whatever you're talking about at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, we've talked mostly about children. What is there for the adults?
We have done adult education classes, anywhere from like rain barrel workshops. If you're interested in setting up a rain barrel on your property, every year in May, we offer a rain barrel workshop. It's $65 to get a rain barrel, the kit, instruction, and we actually guide you on making your own rain barrel while you're there if you want to take it home and paint it. We've done some canning courses, some organic gardening classes, candle making. And I've got a lot of good ideas. I've offered kind of like a chemical-free option to make your own detergents and cleaning mm-hmm. supplies. So always thinking of new ideas to kind of get people engaged. We do have a murder mystery party that I've kind of tossed around a little bit. But just getting people engaged and signed up to making them aware of the events, that's a challenge as well.
I'm sure it is. Now, you had mentioned rain barrels. I'm familiar with rain barrels. What is the purpose of a rain barrel, and how do you collect the water? You know, tell us a little bit about rain barrels.
Yeah, I love rain barrels. We have five on our property, so we have them hooked up. We have waterless toilets at Eco Center, and a lot of people may be saying, like, oh, gosh, that sounds horrible. But they're actually very exciting.
They're not that bad.
They get a lot of attention. A few of the park districts nearby, a couple hunters with cabins, they're very interested in my toilets. And so we have rain barrels hooked up to them, and basically they're water receptacles that collect rainwater when it falls, hits the roof, goes into the gutter, and deposits into, we use 55-gallon drums,
okay.
Food grade 55-gallon drums. very important to know if you are looking at adding a rain barrel, it's imperative that you use food grade barrels. Plastic is a porous material, and you don't want something, even if it's been washed out, that ever held like used oil or any sort of a chemical, because it will leach in to the plastic in the water. So food grade barrels, we use, ours are from Coca-Cola. They have a rain barrel initiative, and so we've partnered with them to get some barrels. And it's a way that you can wash a car, you can wash muddy shoes, your hands, you know, just where you're not tapping into the fresh water source, whether that be a well on your property or a city water supply. So it's a way to conserve water. Ohio, luckily, we have enough rainfall that it's legal to collect rainwater. In some states like Colorado, it's illegal because their water table is so low that it affects the level of the rainwater or the water table. And so water collection in Colorado is illegal.
Oh, okay. It's actually a very old idea. I mean, people used to have cisterns.
Absolutely.
You remember people had rain barrels at the to catch the water coming off the roof and so on. Just an old idea that we've decided wasn't a bad idea.
And if you're into gardening, if you love planting flowers, annual perennials, and it's, you know, you've got them on your porch, your plants will love you for installing a rain barrel because they really prefer rainwater to chlorinated city water, or a lot of minerals can be found in well water that is sometimes detrimental to plants, whether it be garden or flowers. And so rainwater is the best option if you are a gardener.
And I think most people wouldn't know, but you wouldn't want to drink that water.
No, it's not potable.
Yes.
Not potable.
Yes.
Our rain barrel design, it is a contained system. Some of them have like screens to keep any of the big material out, like fallen leaves or insects. But it is not potable. And part of your kit comes with a sticker that says this water is not potable. Neither for humans or animals.
Right.
It's best not to offer it to your animals either.
Right, and if you're collecting it off the roof, you know, you're going to get residue from whatever material the roof is made of, paint.
Right.
Bird droppings.
galvanized stuff is that's on some roofs, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea. What other conservation type programs or teachings do you do out there?
With our field trips, that's our number one goal, or our number one events are field trips and summer camps. ECO actually stands for Educating Children Outdoors.
Oh, I did not know that.
And it's also my initials, Emily Christine Oyarvides.
Okay.
And we're ecological in our teaching, so it kind of has a lot of meaning behind it. So the field trips, the way a field trip would work is a teacher would contact us interested in bringing out their classroom, and they would select from the activities and the lessons that we offer. So I would send them a PDF of the available lessons. They would pick which ones correspond to their current curriculum, which are all in line with Ohio's new learning standards. A lot of our materials come from Project Learning Tree, Ohio Wet, Project Wet, Project Wild, Aquatic, and we offer those lessons up to the teacher. They select which ones they're interested in, and the lessons administered to them during their field trip.
And a lot of those lessons, they're formulated the same way, which is where there's an introduction to a topic or to a subject. And then after that, there's some sort of activity, whether it's, you know, a crafting project or a game, something like that, that the kids can really enjoy. And it really just ingrains what this lesson is about. And then you round everything up nicely with a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have an approximate idea of how many school classes come through?
We have about 23 classes come through within, I'd say, 12 different school districts. On an annual basis. So this fall, we have a lot of preschools and homeschools that are booked. And in the spring, that's kind of a more popular one for grades 2 through 5. They like to come in the spring. The littler ones tend to come in the fall. Burn some of the energy off, I think, early in the year.
Yeah, probably, yeah. You have an event coming up. I don't think we mentioned it yet about the Phobia Haunted Trail.
Ooh. This was a surprise event for me. Somebody had suggested it the year we opened. You know, why don't you guys do a haunted woods? And I actually despise going through haunted events myself. Like,
oh,
I'm a pretty big scary cat.
I'm a big baby. You know,
that makes the three of us.
Yeah, Tyler as well. But you know, we kind of started talking about it, my husband and I tossed it around between my employees and my family just to say, hey, you know, is this something that we want to try? And my parents have been antiquers since I was born, and so we had a lot of exposure and access to some really cool props to make it very unique. And the men in my family, my mom also, very good, like, handy people. Mm-hmm. And so we put together a pretty killer, no pun intended, pretty killer haunted trail the first year, something that we were very, very proud of. We got really good feedback on, and so we're celebrating our fourth Phobia Haunted Trail coming up at the end of October. So we do the Fall Festival the first two weekends, and then we do the Haunted Trail the last two weekends of October. So that's going to be the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. Mm-hmm. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 8 to 11 p.m. And basically we send you in within groups of 2 to 5, 2 to 6 at the most, and you get a lantern. And you're kind of twisting through our 3-acre woods that we have makeshift rooms with doors set up, stations, blinds, jump scares. This is one of the only things that we offer that is not recommended for young children.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe not for people that are 59 years old. I don't do well with things like that. Although you did give me a ticket, and I am going to give it a try. So.
Nice.
If you see me coming through, be nice, okay?
You're braver than I am.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is no touching. Some haunted trails are very extreme in that,
right,
people go to ones and they want to interact in a physical way. We have no touching, and but it is a lot of psychological scares,
okay,
with ours.
I see it says phobia haunted,
yes,
trail, so
mm-hmm,
it must have to do with phobias, I presume.
Phobias, anything, you know, that you would be uncomfortable with. Tight spaces, darkness, being separated from people in your group, clowns, you know.
No ventriloquist dummies, I hope.
There's a section with some vintage dolls that we've creeped out. So.
That is my phobia. Okay, it's out there. Ventriloquist dummies, ever since I was little, have been...
They're
a
creepy.
Big fear of mine. And I think the Twilight Zone had a lot to do with that. So.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Rod Serling, who worked right here at over WMRN right here in Marion many,
ooh,
years ago. Okay. What else can we mention? You have these two events.
Yep.
You let groups come through. Now, most of the year, then, it sounds like if somebody wants to take their kids over there, you're not really open to the public.
That is our goal, eventually, to kind of have enough following and enough people who know about us. That's something that we're trying to improve on right now, just having a local business that kind of started at the ground level. And
mm-hmm,
and it's not uncommon for people to come to a birthday party and drop off their kid, and they're standing there and they're like, wow, I didn't even know this place existed. I hear that all the time. With as a good of a reputation as we have with the people who have experienced what we offer,
mm-hmm,
kind of helping get the word out there to let people know that we exist and what we specialize in, what we offer, is something that we continue to work at.
Okay. So October 5th and 6th and 12th and 13th, the annual Fall Festival will be going on at the Eco Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see times on there.
The times on Saturday, so the 5th and the 12th, those are from 11 to 5.
Those are the Saturdays.
Saturdays are 11 to 5. Sundays are noon to 5.
Okay.
And we have a few things that we add to the Fall Festival that we wouldn't have for like a birthday party per se would be... there's some fire pits there where you can roast,
oh,
s'mores and hot dogs.
Oh, cool.
Kind of like,
yeah,
as a fall activity.
Uh-huh.
Steve Wickersham is a family friend. He's bringing out his workhorses in the carriage on the 13th. So that would be something on the 13th that would be in addition to what we offer. We're having an archery booth come in on the 12th and 13th. That's part of the ODNR program.
Okay.
To get archery out for children. And,
oh, cool.
And we've partnered with them several times to get that archery booth, and that's just another kind of outdoor activity that kids would get exposure to. When you check in, you get a nature scavenger hunt if you want to participate, and it's laminated. You get a marker, and there's three different versions that the family can participate in. If you turn it back in, you get a free popcorn from the concession stand.
Oh, okay.
And then Tyler is, I'm so glad that he's home. I've been waiting for him to come back into town. He's going to be spearheading an educational program each day where when the people come in, they can see, hey, we're doing a program on owls at 1 and on spiders at 2 and on habitats at 3, so that the kids, you know, have additional educational opportunities while they're there. So it's kind of like mini field trip in addition to the playing and the pumpkins and everything that's so fall fun.
So the program on the owls would be a wise choice.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can find out about the spiders on their website, too. So, anyhow, there's taste in my humor, guys.
Tyler is a spider fanatic.
Yeah, I do love spiders. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen that on Facebook, yeah. Tyler. I've seen your fascination with spiders. Okay. Let's see. Anything else? Anything else we haven't covered yet? Have we covered it all?
We could talk a little bit more about the Earth Day event if you want to.
Earth Day. Now, that's in the spring.
It's in the spring. It's okay. In April, so it's a while from now. But just to go into a little bit more detail on kind of where the idea came from and why we started it, you know, with all the climate change discussions that's going on, we definitely wanted to be a leader in our community on exposing people to small changes or large changes, mm-hmm. that they can make to be a little bit more friendly on the earth, to reduce their carbon footprint.
Okay.
And so the idea of the Earth Day event is to bring not only local community members who want to enjoy, you know, a nice day outdoors with their family at no charge, it's to give people who are interested opportunities to buy sustainable products like stainless steel straws, reusable bags for sandwiches for kids, making canvas bags instead of using plastic at the grocery mm-hmm. store, having a chance to purchase or win a rain barrel that was hand-painted by a local artist, buying local produce while you're there. You know, where do your eggs come from? Where, if you do eat meat, where does your meat come from?
Mm-hmm.
And then also buying local. You know, we have this big movement in Marion Made and growing local, and there's a big website, or I'm sorry, a Facebook page going on right now that's really kind of snowballed into this huge movement of shopping local can really do a lot for your community.
Sure.
And that's really the idea of the event, is all these small changes that we can make as individuals, as families, as schools, as businesses, to kind of be a forerunner or up in the forefront of sustainability and not kind of sitting back and waiting to be mandated to make changes.
Right, right. So that's, we're gearing up for Earth Day, which will be in April, I presume?
It is. Okay. Earth Day every year falls on April 22nd.
Okay.
Yes. And that kind of came about when the environmental laws of the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act were happening in the early 70s.
Right, I remember those days, yes.
Yeah, and so it's the same day every year, but ours is on a weekend.
Okay.
If Earth Day falls on a Wednesday, it's probably going to be the following weekend.
That makes sense, so, yes.
To kind of allow as many people as possible to come out and enjoy it.
Okay, we're down to about 15 minutes. Tyler.
Yes.
You not only work at the Eco Center, you're also a part of Terradice.
That's true.
Which, of course, why don't you start with the story of Trella and how Terradice came to be?
Yeah. So Trella Romine, which is big in the Marion community, there's a lot of history with Trella, a lot of heritage with Trella. She owned a property off of Whetstone River Road North, just off the Olentangy River. It was about 18 acres. A portion of that land is now a part of the Marion Parks District. But 3 acres has remained in Trella's family. Trella passed in 2013. and her son David took it over. Well, just recently, within about the last year, David decided it would be best if that property with the Romine residence, the house on it, was transferred into a nonprofit. So we could get more into programming and education and inviting people out, because that's what Trella really, really wanted from that property, is for everybody to enjoy it, for it to basically be a nature center. So on the south side of the Whetstone River, the Olentangy, we have the Teradice Nature Preserve, and then on the north side we have the Teradice Nature Center, which is the nonprofit. And I've recently come in as the program director for Teradice Nature Center, which is very exciting. I'm glad to be back and glad to be working with Teradice Nature Center, as well as Eco Center, and, you know, kind of spreading around to all of the other sustainable and natural resource-based entities around Marion Parks District, Morrow Parks District, things like that. But just to be, you know, binding this community of you know, sustainability and natural resources, conservation education, and really strengthening that portion of this kind of bi-county community.
Okay. And you want to tell us about what they're doing with the house at this time, Trella's house?
Yeah, absolutely. So Trella's house is now being Airbnb'd. So you can book a stay with us at Teradice. Hopefully in the future, we'll tweak that a little bit so it'll be more of a hosted stay. So you can come in, you can stay at Teradice for the weekend, you know, for an overnight, and you would have the option of interacting with me as a host, and I could take you down to the Olentangy River. We could look for macroinvertebrates, which are little insect nymphs that live in the streams and in the freshwater ponds that we have around here. You don't often get to see, but you can pull them up with nets and learn so much about the health of and the quality of the water that's coming through the area, which is really, really incredible. We can go on owl prowls at night. We can go through the Teradice Nature Preserve, talk about trees, talk about wildlife, you know, and really just make it an experience of your own, right? So you can come in, just kind of tell me what you're interested in knowing, and then whatever I can do to help you out or further that knowledge, definitely, you know, aid you in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing that you took me on a tour of Teradice recently.
Mm-hmm.
What are some future plans
down
the road? One thing I saw was there's no place, if schools would want to send classes, there's no place for school buses to park. Is that part of the plan for the future?
Yeah, so David, which is Trella's son, David Haldeman, he actually still owns a portion of the property across the road, which is where if a bus were to come out, he is gracious enough to lend us that property to park cars or buses. You know, in the in an event, we would have cars come out and they could park over on that property. But we are very, very excited to start working with schools. We've been contacting schools, judging their interest in coming out to Teradice, and a lot of the schools seem very, very interested. We do want to focus on kind of a fifth grade middle school demographic. In fifth and eighth grade in the state of Ohio, kids take their standardized science test. And so we would like to be kind of like a supplementary, you know, science education, really get those life sciences, that knowledge into those kids so they're more prepared for taking those tests, you know, and they feel comfortable on test day. So we would like to bring them out and, you know, let them do some self-discovery, but also take them down to the river and do more, you know, facilitated programming, which is where we talk about the health of the river and why clean water is so important, nutrient loading, topics like that. So bringing kids out is definitely part of the plan. And then also visiting classrooms. We are very open to that as well.
Okay. So keep that in mind, folks. I have a tie to David Haldeman. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
He was my music teacher in like fourth or fifth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And Mount Gilead many, many years ago. So, yes, I knew him way back then.
Yeah, and David grew up on that property.
Yes.
And he is just a wealth of stories and knowledge about the property. I went on a walk with him yesterday, actually, and we were walking through the Olentangy, and he just looked like a kid again. He was so excited to be down there. We were picking up rocks and you know, pulling back some bark and looking for things in the river, and he was just very, very excited to get down there.
Yeah, Trella was very excited about that property and making sure that it would, you know, continue to be a nature center.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you're doing a good job at heading that direction. Another question about Terradice, are you needing volunteers to help with anything?
Yeah, a lot of what we're doing right now is assessing kind of the capital that we have, what we, you know, are starting out with, and then figuring out what we're doing with the Airbnb itself. You know, whether we're going to continue on with it and booking guests to come in. The problem with the Airbnb, which is not a bad problem to have, is that it's booked pretty often. And so it's sometimes tough to get, you know, other guests other than the folks staying in the Airbnb out to experience the property.
Right, right.
Right. So it's a lot of decision making right now. It's a lot of program forming. And then also grant writing. That's a lot of what we're doing as well, and finding the funds to do the things that we would like to do, and get the nets for that, you know, the macroinvertebrate surveys, and get the moth traps for, you know, moth surveys, and just get that startup education equipment to get kids out there. And we're going to take Emily's lead over at Eco and get some of those sustainable toilets put in here pretty quickly, because one issue that you would have with you know, 25 fifth graders is a place to go to the bathroom.
Most certainly. Yes, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Everybody loves my toilets.
Well, and I don't want to be gross on the air or anything, but this intrigues me now. Are you hooked in, is it hooked into a septic tank or something?
No,
or
they're what? They're self-contained. They actually have an aeration stack that is so sensitive that even with the slight amount of wind, it has a turbine on top that's constantly spinning, and that just basically evaporates any of the liquid from the waste, which is what reduces the odor. And then it's, I mean, we're open 8 months out of the year, and we empty them once, and it's dry waste at that point because they've done their job.
And that's what's incredible. Where the stuff, where it went.
That's what's incredible, is there's no odor. I mean, you cannot smell anything.
The ones we have are commercial use, and I just sent the paperwork to Tyler. Don't quote me on this, but I think they can hold up to like 65 uses a day before you may start to smell an odor, just from the fact that there's been so many uses.
Okay.
Within the next 24 hours, the odor will be gone, and you can start all over again.
Wow.
So we, my husband and I, before I opened up Eco Center, we went to an Earth Day event in Dallas, Texas, and they... the distributor was down there, and I met them in person, and you know, we were kind of playing around with the idea of starting a business on our property. We had this great property that we weren't doing anything with, and I was looking for a transition in my professional life, and so we saw these toilets, and it was kind of like, what came first, the cart or the toilets? So the toilets came first, and then we revolved and then we kind of built the idea of Eco Center kind of around. We knew that we would have public and eventually schools and so forth, and that we would need a place for them to use the restroom. So that's where they came from.
Okay. So I could see those being used in a lot of public places where you don't want to put in a septic tank, system.
Oh, absolutely.
And then with the rain barrel hooked up, you have a hand washing station there without having plumbing.
Right.
You know, so they are self-contained, and we get the... For our night events, for like the Phobia Haunted Trail, we have a LED light switch that we hook in there, so there's no electric, no water, no plumbing, and they've been great for us.
Okay. Just a technical question here. Do they flush and everything goes just into this tank?
It's an underground. Yeah, it's like an underground, a plastic underground storage tank, and the design is that there is. Like a sieve or a grade on top where the solid waste would fall, and anything that's liquid would then go down into the bottom tank below it, and then the stack would then evaporate the liquid from both forms of waste.
Okay. I didn't. You probably didn't expect to
explain your 20. Are you impressed?
I really. Yes.
I'm impressed with myself.
It's
right
called
now.
An Enviroloo.
An Enviroloo.
A Enviroloo.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know we'd spend so much time on your toilet. Well, talking about.
It's inevitable with this.
It really is. It's a popular facility. Yeah.
Yeah. This subject keeps going and going, doesn't it? Anyhow, we have about 4.5 minutes to go here. Okay, we've explained the toilets. You use rain barrels there, I'm sure. You explain how to use rain barrels. Your upcoming events, first of all, is the annual Fall Festival, and we've mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to mention it again, will be October 5th and 6th and 12th and 13th. On those Saturdays, you're open
11 to 5,
and on the Sundays, 12 to 5.
Yep.
And you also have the Phobia Haunted Trail coming up. Excuse me. And that'll be October 18th and 19th and 25th and 26th. Again,
that's from 8 to 11.
Oh, in the evenings.
Yep, Friday and
Saturdays.
All 4 days.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
So be keeping that in mind. Did you mention how much it is?
The Phobia Haunted Trail is $16 a person.
Okay.
If you have a group, like we have a group of cheerleaders that I know is coming through from River Valley. If you have a group of eight or more, mm-hmm. contact me and I'll give you a good deal on admission if you have a group that's interested in coming in.
And the admission on the Fall Festival?
Yep. Children are $9 and adults are $6. Children 2 and under are free. That's unlimited access to our mini zip lines, the barrel train, the playground. We've got a big gerbil wheel that you can kind of roll around in.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. Adults love it. Adults
yep.
love it. One of my first kind of like aha wonderful moments is our first Fall Festival, and I just kept hearing this like scream of glee coming from what I call the gerbil wheel. It's just a really big like field tile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's a 4-foot field tile. And these kids, they kept saying, "Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?" And I looked in there, and this older woman, it was a grandma. She was probably, I'd say, in her early 70s.
Okay.
And she was laying in the field tile, and she was having her older grandsons push her, and she was laughing hysterically. And she's like, "It's so fun." So, you know, there is something for every. I always encourage, our equipment is really built to hold and sustain, you know, children of all ages, adults of all ages. You know, there's something for everybody, and what you see when you have families out there interacting is the devices are put away, people are taking photos, they're talking, what one brother likes over here, you know, the family goes and they enjoy, and then, you know, they're in the woods because somebody's really into the scavenger hunt or whatever, and there's really something for everybody, and it's just a good, wholesome day outdoors, where with our hope, with our educational mission, that there's enough there with our interpretive signs and our scavenger hunt and with Tyler being there and doing the programming, that you're also going to learn a lot, hopefully, even if you don't want to.
Sounds like a great time. And once again, I'll tell you, that's October 5th and 6th and 12th and 13th at the Eco Center. Excuse me.
Yep.
I'm getting mixed up at this point. And that's at 1757 County Road 59, Caledonia. It's just not too far off 309.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to find. And the Phobia Haunted Trail, again, will be October 18th, 19th, and the 25th and 26th, starting at 8 p.m. and ending at 11. So you can come in time between 8 and 11. You don't have to be there at a
right.
certain time.
Yep.
Okay.
And we have, I gave some tickets to you if you guys are going to do a giveaway, or maybe that's something that your listeners can call in and try to get some tickets that are available. I also have a website. Mm-hmm. EcoCenterOhio.com.
Okay.
And my Facebook page is under EcoCenter LLC. I dabble in photography. Tyler does as well. And so I find a lot of joy in taking photos of people yeah. who visit and kind of putting them up there and kind of memorializing a visit to our place and hopefully getting a good
You're
shot
listening
of the kids.
To WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM.